Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hi, thank you. You're back with Michael Bagram and my wonderful guest, James Force. I apologize. There was a short break in that we had a power break. And I apologize to our listeners for that. James Force is the Alderman James Force is the mayoral committee member for economic growth in the city of Cape Town. He's been going through some of the absolutely wonderful work that they've been doing. And we had started speaking about the port of Cape Town, the city of Cape Town, their port, and their bad review that we'd received as a port internationally. And it was deemed to be one of the worst ports in the world. But James is taking us through. And just before we got cut, the differences of being a bad port as opposed to the exercise that they're going through as a city of Cape Town, and how they are with the blessing of Barbara Creasy, the Minister of Transport, and how they're actually building up this port and improving things. And I'm going to ask James just to repeat some of the exercise to me. I also know that our common friend, the new Minister of Agriculture, Minister Willy Alkamp, is going to also be working very carefully with the Port of Cape Town to ensure that our fruit, our export fruit, goes off on time and safely and carefully and efficiently. And James, I apologize to you. I know you were talking on about the different roles, but if you could rewind just a little bit to take us through some of the exercises that you're going through in terms of the port and the growth of the port. I know that we have some problems in terms of the Southeaster, which is notorious in Cape Town. During that Southeaster, probably impossible on certain days to load anything on any ship, which is not within your purview or your power, but you're doing amazing things. So just, if you can, just go through it again. I'm sorry to make you to repeat it.
No problem. Thank you, Michael. So I think the key question is, why do we believe private sector participation can help? Because there are specialist companies around the world whose expertise is port operations, and their business is improving productivity, reducing delays, investing in technology, and improving operational performance. And therefore, international experience demonstrates that public ownership and private sector participation can successfully coexist. Now, is private sector participation already happening in South Africa? And the answer is yes. There are already examples of private sector participation within South Africa's port and logistics environment. And these examples demonstrate that practical partnerships can improve efficiency while maintaining public ownership. So are we criticizing Transnet? No. We acknowledge that Transnet and national government have made investments and introduced some reforms aimed at improving performance. And there have been encouraging developments, including new equipment and growing consideration of private sector participation. And therefore, my position is simply that these reforms should continue and accelerate. And you've mentioned agriculture. And as you all know, the Western Cape is a major exporter of fresh fruit, citrus, grapes, wine, and other agricultural products. And these products are time sensitive. Even relatively short delays can affect quality, pricing, and market access. And therefore, reliable port operations are therefore essential to protecting agricultural exports and the jobs that depend on them. And how does it also link to manufacturing? Because Cape Town is ultimately also a manufacturing city. And therefore, it is a key pillar of our Cape Town's economic output. And the city recently adopted a manufacturing support policy aimed at helping manufacturers expand production, invest, and create jobs. However, increased production only delivers its full potential if manufacturing can move their products efficiently to local and international markets, and therefore an efficient port and a growing manufacturing sector are mutually reinforcing. And what are those economic benefits that we could achieve through improved port performance? 6 billion rand in additional exports, nearly 20,000 new jobs, and more than 1.6 billion rand in additional tax revenue. And so these figures demonstrate the significant economic opportunity attached to improved port performance. And so that is why we are advocating for private sector participation in the management and operations of the port. So the harbor remains a national asset or a state asset, and the management and operations should be done by private sector companies that are experts in the management of ports. And that is why we are advocating for a public-private partnership so that we can increase the port performance, invest in digital systems, workforce capacity, and of course, new equipment across the entire value chain. And that is why the port is such a critical part of Cape Town's economic landscape in terms of what we import and export. By the way, Michael, just a quick stat. I think some of your listeners might agree, a stat a day keeps the doctor away. And last year, for 2025, just over 843,000 container movements were recorded at the Port of Cape Town. So that's under 1 million. I would like to see those numbers increase because we have 33 industrial areas in Cape Town. In fact, I've just introduced a new program called the Business Retention and Expansion Program, which focuses on all 33 industrial areas when it comes to logistics, energy, productivity, workforce, so that we can ensure that those 33 industrial areas are firing on all cylinders, and so that we can make as much support available to those areas. And so if you think about the building blocks of Cape Town's economic geography, it consists of people, places, and products. And so our economic growth budget, which you have referenced in the beginning of our talk, makes specific provision for programs and initiatives that can unlock economic activity across all 33 industrial areas to make sure that we produce more and employ more with tangible and practical support measures such as our exporter advancement program, our productivity efficiency program. So I'm very programmatic in my approach, and that's why when I see a specific problem or when investors and businesses from my factory floor visits and boardroom conversations talk to me about specific problems, I like to deploy or develop and deploy a program specifically aimed at fixing that problem and improving the value chain and strengthening the ecosystem, because no government can do it alone. We need the help of private sector. And that's why we need to think programmatic in how we solve complicated problems for businesses. And by the way, innovation in government also doesn't need to be complicated. We just need to think like a business and not like a government. We need to think, how will it improve the bottom line for the business in terms of profits, productivity, and people, the actual workforce? And so I can talk about that in some more detail as we continue the conversation. But I just wanted to give you the picture in terms of why this harbor is such a key component of our economic output, what we do and what we export.
Now, you've obviously mentioned that there will be obviously a relationship between you and national government on this exercise. Minister Creasy, the Minister of Transport, has fantastically around the country starting to recognize the work of the local governments and hand in hand with national government, and also working with the private sector. In Cape Town, you've done fantastic work. In fact, I need to salute you for this on the red tape program, which has resolved lots of issues, thousands of issues. In fact, many of my clients as an attorney have reported back to me how this red tape has been fantastic for their businesses. And I know that you're going to be meeting soon with the Minister of Agriculture and trying to sort out any hitches that they have. The farmers are reporting there might be one or two hitches, which is also fantastic. People in Cape Town have been also saluting the fact that the southern line, the railway line between Simonstown and Cape Town, is working really well. It's just unbelievable what's going on. So we're now managing to at least bring that southern line, the staff of Cape Town, into the city, which has also been good. We still got a problem with the northern line. It's still not working fantastically, but we'll hopefully you'll put your hands on that one soon. But I know that with your new economic growth directorate and the budget, you're looking at all these issues and you're bringing them together. But one thing I do want to talk about and I do want to ask you about is that, and I don't know how you've done it, but it's happened, but we've brought our unemployment in Cape Town, and our premier boasts about this all the time, and I'm sure hand in glove with your directorate, but brought it down to below 20% unemployment in Cape Town. Do you want to make any remark? Because even your development now in the port is going to get, you mentioned a figure, I think it was 20,000 new jobs. Tell us a bit about that, jobs and jobs and jobs.
Thank you very much, Michael, for recognizing some of those key contributors across the whole value chain when it comes to mobility and energy and safety, because those are really the fundamentals that can make or break a city. And that's why when we've approved our 868 million rand budget for the Economic Growth Directorate in the city, I don't immediately think about the figure. I think about what that investment can unlock. Will it help another business grow? Will it attract another investor? And will it land another international flight? And will it create another job? And that's how I measure success. And I'm pleased that Cape Town has the lowest unemployment rate of any metro in South Africa. That's encouraging because it shows we're moving in the right direction. But we are certainly not satisfied. We are still far off the mark, and there are still too many people looking for work. And that's why my focus remains exactly where it's always been, creating more opportunities and making that unemployment queue shorter. And one thing I've learned in this portfolio is that you can't understand the economy from behind a desk. And that's why I spend so much time visiting businesses, walking through factories, meeting entrepreneurs and speaking to investors. And whether I'm in Atlantis, Epping, Khayelitsha, or here in the Central Business District, the conversations are remarkably similar. Businesses aren't
asking...
Can
I put you on hold? We need to pay the bills as well. Let's put you on hold for 1 minute.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, you're back with Michael Bagram and my wonderful guest, Alderman James Foss. Alderman Foss has taken us through some of the experiences he's had in the Economic Growth Directorate and their new budget and the things they're doing for the city of Cape Town. The enormous amount of work that's going into growing the port and to making sure that that works. I know that Alderman Foss is very passionate about Cape Town and the environs, about everything to do with Cape Town. And we had just ended off before the advert that we had been speaking about the fact that the growth in employment in Cape Town has been absolutely fantastic. Alderman Foss, I can also just comment that a lot of my friends, associates and colleagues are relocating to come and live in Cape Town, and it's possibly because of some of the amazing work that is done by you and your colleagues in trying to ensure that economic growth is at the forefront of what's happening. And you did mention a wonderful thing right in the beginning of our discussion, that if Cape Town's a great place to live, then it'll be a great place to do business. And you've married those two concepts very nicely, and I'm hearing it from lots of my friends who have relocated to come and live in Cape Town, specifically because of that, that it's not just a place to have fun and to play, but it's also a place to work. That whole concept has been fantastic. Do you want to expand a little bit on that?
Yes, thank you. So You're absolutely correct. Across every sector, Michael, the message is consistent. Make it easier to do business, back job creators, and keep investing in growth. And that is exactly what this economic growth budget does. And let me highlight five priorities quickly. First, investment and global connectivity. We will continue strengthening our partnership with airlines to land more flights, expand our exports, and connect Cape Town businesses to new markets, because the more connected Cape Town is to the world, the more opportunities we create at home. And that is why we do this, because for every 100 passengers arriving in our city, about 2 local jobs are supported. And that is why one of my biggest priorities is improving Cape Town's international connectivity. People sometimes joke that I spend a lot of time talking to airlines, and they're absolutely right, but there's good reason for it. Because every additional flight creates opportunities throughout the economy. It brings more visitors, supports hotels and restaurants, helps conferences and tourism grow, and it gives exporters better access to international markets. Michael, today we welcome around 230 international flights into Cape Town every week. That's something we can be proud of, but I don't see it as the destination. I see it as a platform to build on, because I know there are still more routes we can secure. Over the past year, I've traveled to Brazil, New York, Istanbul, China, and India. And those weren't courtesy visits. They were trade and investment missions with a very clear purpose. In Brazil, I promoted Cape Town ahead of the Sao Paulo route because I wanted tourism operators selling Cape Town before the first aircraft even landed. In New York, I met with investors and promoted Cape Town as a place to do business. In Istanbul, I met with tourism operators from around the world to encourage more travel to our city. And I've just returned from China and India, where I met airline executives about future direct flights, because those are two big untapped markets, and a direct flight will give us bums on seats and boxes in the belly. And then I've met with companies looking at expanding their companies here. And those meetings aren't only about bringing businesses to Cape Town, they're also about helping Cape Town businesses reach new markets. And because we produce outstanding products in our city, whether it's food, wine, clothing, technology, automotive components, electronics, we have businesses producing world-class products every day. And that is my mission. It is to see that we can get more Cape Town products on shop shelves around the world. And that's why I invest so much time in those international relationships, because that's really where the magic happens. And backing businesses. What do I mean with backing businesses? Last year alone, our dedicated business hub assisted more than 5,800 businesses across Cape Town through supply development, procurement, support. And we are helping businesses start, grow, and expand. That's my mission. And this budget allows us to expand those programs so that even more businesses can grow and create jobs. And then, Michael, a very exciting part of my job is to work in high-growth sectors. So many governments around the world talk about being sector agnostic. While in Cape Town, we have high-growth sectors, and we will continue funding our sector-focused special-purpose vehicle program to unlock more jobs, more products, more economic activity, and profits for businesses in those specific sectors, because those industries give Cape Town a competitive advantage, and they are, for example, green energy, clothing and textiles, boat building and marine manufacturing, business process outsourcing, technology, and tourism. And these partnerships deliver real results. Last year alone, through our sector purpose or special purpose vehicle program, we've helped facilitate more than 15 billion rand in new investments that created thousands of additional opportunities. So I'm a very sector-focused person. I recognize the work we need to continue doing in our getting our basics right, and we'll continue that mission. But we also need to unlock and get much more value out of high-growth sectors, and not forgetting the informal economy. So whilst there's these sectors that we are focusing on through training, through productivity, through exports. We also focus on the informal economy. And this budget invests in better public trading infrastructure so that we can create more dignified trading spaces for our informal traders. And we've also provided for a zero increase in informal trading tariffs to strengthen the sector and keep the cost of doing business much more affordable. And then one more thing, the ease of doing business index. You mentioned it at the beginning, the red tape restriction. Now, this is really a fantastic program that we have initiated at the beginning of this term in office. So previously, the World Bank did the rankings for cities according to the ease of doing business index. They have discontinued around about 2018, and we have stepped in to come and develop our own ease of doing business index, where we have identified 10 business-facing indicators. So my job, the mayor has tasked me to lead on this ease of doing business index. So since 2021, we have developed 10 business-facing indicators, which attaches the number of days it takes to get an approval through the system. And slowly but surely, we are moving all of those number of days to single digits, from building plan approvals to business licenses to construction permits to electricity connections. So on the index, you can
put you on hold one second. Put you on hold 1 second. We're going to pay the bills again.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, you're back with Michael Bagram every Tuesday morning. It's going to be changed from 9 to 10. We're now talking with James Foss, Alderman James Foss, who's the mayoral committee member for economic growth in the city of Cape Town. He's taken us through some of the amazing work done by his directorate. And he's worked hand in glove, both with the provincial government, national government. He has been encouraged very carefully by the city and all his colleagues. One thing I did want to mention, James, and you could tell us a little bit about them, but you've got the most wonderful staff. Whenever I get through to your office, be it a problem I might have with the city or a client of mine, your staff have been absolutely fantastic, efficient. They get back to me immediately. They work hand glove with you. They've actually been, if anything, absolute stars. It's unlike that you see in government around the country. The government over here is seen to be absolutely responsive. Do you want to make a comment on your staff? I know we've got a few minutes left, but I'd like to pay them that respect.
Thank you very much, Michael, for acknowledging that the work we do in economic growth is absolutely a team sport, and I can't do this work alone. I work closely with my incredible teams across the five departments within the Economic Growth Directorate, the staff in my office, and the officials within the various departments that make life very easy. I must say they put up with a lot of my strange requests and always pushing them harder to go and find new things to do, because the ways of working will continue to evolve. And I'm really, really blessed and privileged to be working alongside such an incredible team of officials, support staff in my office, and those within the departments. And that, I think, that really ties in nicely with our ease of doing business index program, because we are really trying to instill a culture of service excellence in Cape Town. In fact, we are doing business improvement workshops in the department, taking officials on a journey of a customer service experience, the ethos of we mean business, to think with a business mind, and to maybe even recommend in certain instances where we can change the internal workflow. So if a system or a process takes too long, or if it doesn't make any sense to continue working along that specific workflow, then we are encouraging staff to speak up, and so that we can internally improve our own systems. And so we're really being much more open to innovation in the way we work, the way we do our business internally. And that's why the ease of doing business index I think is a shining example of how we've cut red tape, improved turnaround times. 3 years ago, it took 128 days to get a business license. Today, it takes less than 1 month. We've managed to bring it down to 28 days. Trading permits took about 90 days. That's what, 3 months and counting. And then now it is down to 2 weeks. And what did we do? We took the officials with us on this journey, because they can also make or break the system. So we really want to bring a service, a culture of service excellence, placing customers at the heart of what we do and building a city of hope, because we've got more than 30,000 people working for the municipality, and you know, things can go quickly wrong if you're putting it into different directions. And so it comes down to the people that work for us, investing in them as well, so that there's professional development, there are many more career opportunities and growth personally and professionally for the staff that work for us. And you can see it coming through our Ease of Doing Business Index. And even the World Bank is now recognizing it as a good example of how we can improve approvals, whether it's way leave applications or construction permits. And I think if you see the many new developments happening across the city, it shows that it is working. And Michael, we're not going to get it right all of the time. And that's why we can't mark our own homework. We've asked the business chamber, the various business associations across Cape Town to participate in our business satisfaction surveys, where we make those the data and the analysis available on the investcapetown.com website for everyone to see, and so that we can constantly chip away at fixing what's broken, fixing what we believe should be working much better, and streamlining our systems internally.
And that I'm going to stop you. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I still want to thank you and thank your directorate for all the work that they've done. I know you're working hand in glove with Westgrow, which is the provincial body, with the provincial parliament, with national government by the sounds of things, so thank you on that. And also, you've been given a very powerful hand by the mayor of Cape Town, so thank you to him, who's let you go ahead and do what you're very good at doing. You've made the city of Cape Town a much better place to live in. So, Alderman James Foss, I thank you for your time. I thank you for all the work that you're doing and going to do still. So we're looking forward to good things in the future. And thank you for being on Chai FM with us. It's a wonderful message for all of us living around the country, our wonderful country, South Africa. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael, for those very kind words and for inviting me onto your show. It's really encouraging to hear that you and people that you work with and are associated with are recognizing the work that we do. And I must remember those days fondly when we served together in Parliament. It was really wonderful.
Thank you.
Serving
Thank you. We need to cut off. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much.